Wood's wet. Something's wrong with you. Amen. Well, enjoyed that very much. It's good to have Brother House with us this morning. Brother House is evangelist out of Joshua, Texas. And Brother House has, I think, preached every stewardship conference since our beginning 16 years ago. And we appreciate Brother House very much. Brother House, you come on and preach to us. And I've talked a lot about you the last couple of weeks. So
I'm sorry. I'll try to overcome that. I know what he talks about when he's talking about us. But I'm glad to be back and get the normal harassment that I get here. And a couple of friends that I see. And some friends I hadn't met yet that I see. I'm just glad to be here. And I'm glad you're here. And I trust the Lord to do something very special for us. I'm glad Glorybound and their mom and daddy are here. I had listened to them Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it was, and I endured it again and always enjoy it. And the word will stand. Amen. The word will stand. Amen. Preachers want me to keep it short today, so I'm under distress again. I'll be all nervous and upset, but we better get started. So open your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, there are some passages of Scripture in the Bible that we hear so often and we study so often and teach them so often, they become very mundane if we're not careful and we miss the message. And so I want to talk to you this morning on your theme of renewal or renewed. Now you can sing the chorus. And you can have the themes, but that won't make it happen. Now, you ought to have those. Don't misunderstand. But that won't make it happen. And we need to take some careful thought about it. And I want to speak to you today, at least, on that subject of renewed. And we're going to talk this morning about what is a renewed church. And to do that, you have to understand what a church is. Amen. Not a building.
Amen.
It's not a creed. It's not a set of laws. It's not anything like that. It's not a denomination. It's people.
Right.
It's a called out assembly of baptized believers. Amen. Assembled together to carry out the Great Commission. It's people. The church, as we view it, can't do anything. The people can do whatever it is God wants them to do, if they would and if they will. Let me read these familiar verses beginning in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I want you to remember that number because it'll get important in just a moment. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as what should be saved. Okay, this renewal thing, what's it all about? Renewal. Anybody make any New Year resolutions? You're not going to confess it, huh? Now, they've all been broken by now anyway. My wife goes to a health spa to exercise. I don't need the exercise, so I don't go. But she does. And she started down there she's been going for a long time. But the first of the month, she couldn't get in down there. There's so many people. I said, just hang around till February. Be plenty of room then, you know, once they get it out of their system. But we all do try to make, we tend to make resolutions, don't we? I have for you because I know you're interested. The top 10 resolutions, according to a very large metropolitan newspaper from the Northeast. Not from here. Now, and understand, basically, a human's hopes and needs and desires are usually expressed, if they're serious, when they make resolutions. Listen to the top 10 resolutions. This is factual now. Top 10 resolutions. Here they go. Spend more time with friends and family. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah. Number two, fit in fitness. That's a good thing, isn't it? Number three, tame the bulge. You didn't get it. Lose weight. No. That is a good thing, isn't it? Quit smoking, please. Enjoy life more, number five. Quit drinking. Must have been Baptists making these resolutions. Number six, get out of debt. That's a good thing. Number eight, learn something new. That's a good thing. Number nine, help others. That's a good thing. Number 10, get organized. Those are the 10 top New Year's resolutions. Now nobody in the world, I don't believe, would say that those are bad things. Well, could you? They're not bad things, you know. And it didn't come from Christianity Today or some theologians getting together. It was just normal humans, and this was their resolutions, you know. But Christians ought to make a different set of resolutions. There's nothing in there about God. Now, those 10 resolutions are in order for them to renew their life and get their life started out on a new track. Not one thing in there about God. And unfortunately, if we're not real careful, our renewal will be that same thing. It'll be what we think will help us and go from there. But we ought to resolve to be an active part of a renewed church. And I want us to look at that for a little while this morning. I hope you'll pay attention and not snore and take those things into consideration. And I want us to look at these thoughts. So many claim to be a part of the church. Yeah. I mean, they've been baptized. Their name's on the roll, but they're so far from being a part of the church. Yeah. They've been members for years. They don't even know what's going on. It won't get better. You just, well, smile now and let's get on with it, you know. Some sitting right here don't have a clue. Saved, on your way to heaven, don't have one clue what a renewed Christian life would be like. And so let's look at this thing in the sense of a renewed church and see what we can get from here. If you look in verse 42, the first thing you'll find out is it was a studious church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. Now, pay attention on purpose for just a moment. This one is most important. A renewed church is a Bible preaching, teaching church. Amen. Here's the interesting thing. It's somewhat like a school. And this church now has 3,000 new students who don't know anything about spiritual things. Yeah. And we just go on with our thing. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine 3,000 kindergarten students and we just want them to jump right into stewardship and soul winning and all the rest of it? Yeah. ain't going to happen.
Right.
Unless the church is a studious church that pays attention to the teaching of the Word of God. You know, folks come to church their entire life and never become a studious person.
Amen.
Never know what's going on. And again, it's like a school. I remember, I know you suspicion this, whether I can remember that long ago or not. I remember when I started to school. Someone said, when was that? Well, that's not your business. It was a while back, though. And where I grew up, back over in southwest Arkansas, where's my Arkansas friend? Right there. Yeah, from Conway. You're a Yankee. But where I grew up, you know, and we didn't have anything to plug our television into, so we didn't have television. And we didn't have daycare, and we didn't have Head Start. And so when I was 6 years old, I started to school. I had never seen a book. I had never seen a pencil. I had never been read to. I had never been able to watch Captain Kangaroo. I knew nothing. And this teacher began to talk about reading and writing and arithmetic. Like I'm supposed to know what any of that is? No, I did not know. And she said, but you will know. I said, I don't think so. She said, oh yeah, I'm going to teach you. She's very studious, you know. She's very serious about her thing. And it was my first learning experience. So here I'm in school. I got pencils, books, paste, scissors, all of them provided by the school system at that time. And so I'm an academic now, and I can't even spell my name. Can't write my name. Can't count to three. I don't know anything. And she's talking about all that stuff. I did have a tablet, if y'all think y'all so smart, techie. I had a tablet. Big Chief. You remember? Had those big wide lines, and down the middle it had that little bit of thin line. And she's going to teach us how to write on that thing. And the first thing she did, she put up all the ABCs all around the wall. She said they were ABCs. They just looked like, to me, I couldn't tell anything about them. And she said, we're going to learn them. And she said, now the first thing you learn when you're going to write them, you got to stay between the lines. And the first thing a studious church does is draw some lines and tell the people you're going to stay between those lines if you're going to graduate, unless you want to stay in school all your life. And she'd start that, you know, you had to stay right there in the lines. And then she was going to teach. And once we got some of that ABCs done, she's going to teach us how to read. Heavy duty stuff, you remember? See, spot, run. So I said, it'll never work. She said, yeah, you're going to study. Yeah. And you're not going to believe this. She gave us homework. She said, you're not going to walk out of here and forget all this. You're going to go home and think about it.
Amen. That's good.
I'm talking about the church now.
Yeah.
We walk out and forget about it the next Sunday, don't we? No, see, real life, you take it with you everywhere you go. And it stays with you all the time. And so she said, now look, there's some lines that are drawn. There's some rules. There's some borders. There's some principles. And she started then talking about grammar and English. And I'm from South Arkansas. I didn't need English. I spoke Arkansas. I could communicate with anybody there. No. And I had a few problems. I just had a few problems with it. We know nouns, pronouns, verbs, adverbs, prepositions, conjunctions. I didn't have a clue. She said, we'll study. And little by little, we learned our ABCs. And little by little, we learned to write. But she had some of the weirdest thoughts. She said, now you can't lay out of school. You got to come every day. She said, you're not going to get it. If you miss, you're not going to get it. But we got folks who get saved, get in church, and think they can come halftime and make it. It's not going like we ought to be going, is it? It'll get better in just a minute, hopefully. You can't be a halftime Christian. You know, you can forget the renewal thing unless you want to get involved in it every day. And you want to study, you know, and go from there. And then she taught us the most important thing. She got down to that arithmetic thing. And I love numbers now, but I didn't get it then. And she taught us, you know, I got the pluses pretty quick. 1 plus 1 is 2, and 2 plus 2 is 4, and 4 plus 4. I can go a long way like that. You get in multiplication, I get lost pretty quick, you know. And the division, but I like it. And she said, now, math, she called it arithmetic back then. I guess that's what it was. She said, the interesting thing about arithmetic is that it's an absolute. I wasn't sure what an absolute was, but she explained it. And then she said, what that really means is that 2 plus 2 will always be 4. And 4 plus 4 will always be 8. Arithmetic is an absolute. Now, she came to that spelling thing. She said, same thing with spelling. You always will spell cat, C-A-T. It's not K-A-T. She said it's C-A-T, always will be, cat. And the thing about the Bible is, it is an absolute. It is always the same. You can't change it according to your circumstances. It will always be the same, and it will always stand, and it will always be the best thing in the world for us to take heed to. And we need to have a studious church that just brings that out like it's supposed to be, you see. Christianity and the Bible are just like that school thing, and you can't take it halftime. And I hope we'll remember that, you know. No two ways about it. And so it should be a studious church. Secondly, it needs to be a supportive church. Did you notice in verse 42 again, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship? Now, that has to do with a supportive type thing. Now Baptists spell fellowship F-O-O-D. That's not fellowship. That's eating, and I love it. But fellowship, that's loving and supporting one another. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Fellowship is what we share together. It's what we have received together. It's what we have in common, fellowship. You know, we all the saved are sharing something. We're sharing what we receive and participate together. Now, we're all different. Oh, we're different colors, different nationalities, different social statuses. But we all the saved, share the same thing, and that is the marvelous, wonderful grace of God. Amen. And we need to be supportive one of another. Right. But there's a second thought there. This is the important part. Watch now. Pay attention. Not only are we to share what we receive together, but what we give together also. Look in verses 44 and verse 45 and buckle your pew belt for it. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Isn't that interesting? You say, well, no, it's kind of disturbing. It is, really. It is kind of disturbing, isn't it? I mean, here the Bible says these folks who are saved, these Christian folks who are in the church, sold all their possessions and gave the proceeds to those that had need. It's called fellowship. It is kind of disturbing. Matter of fact, those are the verses we like to just pass over and move on. I move on quickly, you know, just get out of here. You know, we say we're real Bible believers and we're literalists. Still, we get to something like that and we say, well, that's not really what, you know. We're crazy. See, we want to avoid the challenge. And the very fact that we want to avoid the challenge bears witness to our need for renewal. The very fact that it would even bother us to read that points out how desperately we need renewal. You know, it's an amazing thing when you think about it. It bears witness to what Jesus said in Luke 12:15. You remember that statement? He said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And that's a fact. That is a fact. You know, now, you know how we are. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. Well, that's great. They continued fellowship with the brethren. Oh, that's great. Fellowship with those in need around the world, lost and dying. I don't know if we want to get into that or not. You know, that's just as great as the rest of it, you see. And we have too many in our society today who sit in our churches for what the church can do for them. We have too many who drop in and visit and ask the pastor, and I'm not talking to the pastor, I can read his mind from here, and say, Pastor, we'd like to know what your church can offer our teenagers. We'd like to know, you know, what you can do for us. And here's the teaching as I see it in these two verses and in Luke 12:15. Jesus is teaching that there are things in this world more important than the stuff we have. Amen. Could I just get a little help on that? Amen. There are things in this world today more important. There are things in life more important than the stuff we have. That's not wrong to have stuff, but it seems like our stuff's got us. And we measure everything around it, you see. You remember in Acts 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira? It's the most interesting story. In the last verse of chapter 4 in Acts, Barnabas had some land, sold it, and gave all of the proceeds to the work of the Lord. Nobody told him to. He didn't have to. He wanted to. Cheerfully gave. Okay? And he didn't say anything about it, didn't advertise it, just did it. Well, evidently some of the church folks got talking about what a good guy he was and how nice that was and how blessed that was. And Ananias and Sapphira heard about it. They got together and said, you know, we've got a piece of land. We really don't need it. And we can sell it and we can give part of the price and tell them it's all of it. And they'll think we're as good as Barnabas is. And so they did that. And God just took life from them. I'm sorry, he didn't do that. He just stopped giving them life. He just turned the life faucet off. And they died. Now, what was their great sin? It wasn't that they didn't give. They did give. It wasn't that they didn't give all of it. Nobody told them to give all of it. Their big sin was their stuff had them. And they committed the sin of hypocrisy in claiming a devotion to Jesus Christ they did not have. It's an amazing thing when you think about it, you see. In renewal, in real Bible renewal, you make a spiritual decision before God concerning the stuff you have and how you're going to use it. That's when you're supposed to say amen. Amen. In real spiritual renewal, you make a conscious decision before God about your stuff and how you're going to use it for Him. Amen. I need to, some of you look sick. Let me help you. They didn't sell everything they had. They sold their possessions. Somebody said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about they still had their house. Somebody said, how do you know? Because the Bible says they did. You know, that's pretty easy. Look in verse 4-6. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from what to what? House to house. They didn't sell everything. And I hear a collective sigh of relief across the audience. But they sold what God put on their heart to sell. And they did what God told them to do. And we need to understand that the problem that we have with that is a witness to our need for revival. You know, we're too hung up on my stuff. Listen, the truth of voluntary and generous giving in the Bible is permanent, and universal. And I believe that real renewal calls on you and me to simplify our life, downsize our living style, so that we might become more generous in our giving. It needs to be a supportive church. It needs to be a studious church. And number three, it needs to be a serious church. Look at verse 42 again. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And they got through with the fellowship, they got through with the doctrine, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. It was a serious church. They didn't go to church to have a good time. Hello? Yeah. They didn't go to church to play games. They devoted themselves to study the apostles' doctrine. They devoted themselves to fellowship, the support of one another and others. They devoted themselves then to serious church, prayer, and the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. It's an amazing thing. Now, before you get depressed, it wasn't like a funeral service. I'm not talking about that. It wasn't one of those doing penance things, but there was a balance of dignity and joy. Yeah. This is going over sort of like a lead balloon, but I'm too far into it to back out. There ought to be a balance in our church. You know. It's not a circus. It's not an entertainment place. But there ought to be joy and dignity, you see. And, you know, look at the last part of verse 4 to 6. With gladness and singleness of heart. I think you might better put it this way, you know, there's the inward joy of worshiping at the church house and the outward joy of worshiping at the home house, where there's hardly any worship goes on anymore. And there ought to be great joy there. Someone said, well, I'm just not a joyful person. I thought so. I've been looking at you. But I will remind you of the fruit of the Spirit, just to remind you. Are you ready? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Ain't no need getting past that one until you get that one. Someone said, well, you can't have all of them. It's just one fruit of the Spirit. And it all goes together, you see. And we need to understand it. An amen is good. A smile is wonderful. Christianity is a joyful religion, but church worship should be reverent and dignified. Somebody said, well, why? Well, who are we worshiping? Now, let me read you something. You just mark it to look at it later. It's in 1 Chronicles 29. And I want you just to get a note of who we do worship. In verse 10 of 1 Chronicles 29, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Listen carefully now, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, and all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. That's the God we came to worship, the God of majesty and power and victory and glory. And we're not to do that in some flippant circus-like atmosphere where everybody comes to see how much fun they can have and go eat lunch and forget it. But a joy of worshiping in dignity. We ought to be a serious people. Amen. Get away from this nightclub kind of an atmosphere, this social gathering. And lastly, very quickly, you can't get away from it. Most of us would like to skip this verse too. But verse 47 says it was a soul-winning church. Not only studious, not only supportive, not only serious, but soul-winning. Look at verse 47. Praising God with and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, I remind you of what I said earlier. A church cannot win souls. People do. People cannot win souls without a renewed spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that. Now, we've determined that we're serious and supported and serious, and then we go no further. We stop in verse 42, don't we? We don't want to mess with verse 44 and 45, and we sure don't want to mess with verse 47, you know? We are useless. How about that? Useless Christians, unless we get a renewed spirit and begin to witness, you see. We are useless. We are self-regarding. We are turned inward. We are self-concerned, you know. What about a lost world out there? What about folks on their way to hell, dying by the thousands every day while we enjoy our buildings, our study, our fellowship, and our worship? Do we have no mission to them? Do we have no purpose for them? See, we can't stay in Acts 2:42. We have to go to verse 47. I gave you three statements from verse 47, and we're through. Now notice, if you're looking at verse 47, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Number one, the Lord did it. Through his people. Right? He did not show up. He did it. The Lord did it, but it was through his people. Number two, this is a double barrel thing. He added the saved to the church. Now, he didn't add them to the church and didn't get them saved. He added the saved to the church. See, I would like everyone here to get this. Salvation and church membership are Siamese twins. They go together. I don't have much use for that person who claims to be saved and has no use for the church. I cannot appreciate their views. I can hardly tolerate their view that they can be saved and what God wants them to be and not be a part of what Christ died for, and that's the church. I'm sorry. You need renewal, you know. And thirdly, this is a biggie. Now, number one, he did it. Number two, then, he did two things. He added the saved to the church. And then number three, he did it every day. I wish we could get back to that. Everyday Christianity, talking to someone about Jesus, sharing the joy of an overcoming life every day.
Amen.
He did it every day. Years ago, there was a survey taken from people who had given up on church. They tried it, didn't work. And they were what they called devoted Christians. And so they surveyed them, and the gentleman asked them, well, just what are you folks looking for in a church? And the answers were amazing. They said, well, we're looking for a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. We're looking for a church of loving, compassionate fellowship. Sound familiar? We're looking for a church where people recognize the majesty and the glory of God and bow the knee to Him. And we're looking for a church with a compassionate outreach to a lost and a dying world. Sounds just like Acts 2. Sounds just like what a Bible church ought to look like.
Amen.
And what is a church? People. So if you're here today, why don't we get serious about this resolution thing, this renew thing, and sing it, that's fine, and have the theme, that's fine. But why don't we bow the knee and say, dear God, that'll be me. I will be that studious, supportive, serious, soul-winning person. Bow your head, please. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Christians are praying. We're going to have just an old-fashioned Bible invitation. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I've listened to you, and I understand what you're saying, but my problem is not that I'm not that kind of a Christian. My problem is I don't know that I'm a Christian. I don't know that if I died today that heaven would be my home. Preacher, I'm not a fool. I don't want to go to hell. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know for sure if I died that I'd go to heaven. And I'd like to know that if I could. And I wish you'd pray for me. Is there someone sitting here like that? You're saying, a preacher, that's me. I'm not sure if I died I'd go to heaven. If I could know it, I'd like to know it. And I want you to pray for me. If you're here like that, would you just quietly lift your hand? I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out. I'll certainly pray for you. Anyone in the teenagers? Not sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. You're concerned about that? Anyone in the adults? Anyone at all? Everyone here professes to be saved. Out of those that are here saved, some here need church membership. Some here need renewed life. I'm going to pray. When I finish praying, we'll stand. Our song leader began to lead us in an invitation hymn. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You need to come bow a knee and leave here a renewed Christian. Won't you do it today? Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the guests, the special music, the fellowship of the people. But help us now to get serious. Serious about Your things. For Jesus' sake, amen. Standing.